Today we're going to be talking about the Miami Dolphins loss to the New York Giants. The Dolphins go 0-2 in their MetLife takeover, losing to the Jets on a last-minute field goal with what some argued last week as a BS pass interference call. Of course, it was a pass interference call, but just the review coming a little bit later, and then getting absolutely destroyed by the New York Giants this week. We have one of my co-hosts of the Any Given Friday podcast, Corey Ashburn, here with me. And Corey, your instant reaction to the Miami Dolphins loss?
It's a little bit upsetting for me. You know, I've been part of the I'm okay with losing, but I want to win every single game. And today we lost handedly to a team on a 9-game losing streak. It was Eli Manning's likely last start at you know the field there in New York. So I can understand that the team and the fans are very emotional. But to come out the way that the Dolphins did today, it just was a little upsetting for me personally.
I'd have to agree. I think with Eli, that was going to happen no matter what. I mean, I thought that one of the games he was going to start, once it was announced that it was a 2 to 4 week injury for Daniel Jones, that it was either going to be the Eagles game that they won, which they lost, which they should have won, or they were going to be us. I didn't think it was going to be as handily. Now, of course, Eli wasn't amazing. I mean, he went 20 for 28, 283, two touchdowns and three picks. And the three picks were all not that great. I mean, they were pretty obvious where he was throwing type of picks, very Eli Manning of the when he was a rookie, or some could argue his entire career, where the picks he throws are extremely obvious. But Saquon had two touchdowns. He got it going, 24 carries for 112 yards. I think that's his best game of the season. Sterling Shepard had a great game, and then we didn't throw an interception, so that was very good for us. Devontae Parker got a contract extension over the weekend. It happened, I believe he got the extension late Friday night. Four receptions, 72 yards, and two touchdowns for Devontae Parker. Albert Wilson, 5 for 59, both taken off of concussion protocol last night. Clive Walford had a lot of action. That's something I want to touch on as well. I'm not really sure why a guy like Clive Walford is getting a lot of those touches and, I guess, plays drawn to him like a Mike Gesicki should be getting, or even maybe put Allen Hurns in that role. That confused me a little bit. Jerome Baker had a pretty good game, had an interception. Nick Needham, of course, had his. And then Vince Beagle got his first career interception on a pretty obvious throw. I want to dive quickly into the Devontae Parker contract. Very team friendly. A lot of people are saying he gets a big contract extension after his biggest year in his career. Do you think that the production that he's having is purely based on him being without most of the injuries he's suffered throughout his career? Or do you think this is strictly a coaching and situational type of play?
I think it's both. Me personally, I was a huge Devontae Parker fan coming out of college out in Louisville. He was my number two wide receiver in that draft behind only Amari. I was ecstatic when the Dolphins drafted him. Over the past four seasons, he really has been a big letdown. And a large part of that has been the coaching, in my opinion. But another large part of that has been he needed to grow up as an individual. He reportedly had multiple off the field, not legal issues or anything like that, but work ethic issues. He wasn't getting his diet right. I remember Kenny Stills talked about we need to get your diet right. He had all these work ethic issues and he couldn't stay healthy. This year, combined with the amazing coaching he's getting, in my opinion, he's figured it out mentally and off the field. And you're seeing the potential that he's always had. I always compared him to an AJ Green. And this is the type of stuff that you're seeing now. Like today, he had two touchdowns. The second one being a nether jump ball, which is what he excels at. The dude is a monster in the air. This is what I've always hoped he could be, and we're starting to see it. So I'm very excited about the future, and obviously so are the Dolphins as they signed him to that 4-year extension.
Do you think also with he gets an extension, do you think, like I said, a lot of people have been saying it's team friendly. Do you think that the Dolphins and Chris Greer did a great job getting this done now rather than if he maybe has another good game against the Bengals and a good game against the Patriots and maybe that number bumps up a little bit?
Absolutely. It was a smart move early in the season when they did a 2-year extension for really, really cheap, when they got him to come back for really cheap.
Right.
A lot of people wanted him to go to lead the team this past offseason or be traded, which we almost did multiple different times.
Right before after the Houston Texans game last year was a big
one. Exactly. And then reportedly, even the trade deadline this year, there was talks about him going too. But they did a early extension for 2 years on a very, very cheap deal. They let him earn it, and he has been dominating this year. And like I said before, you're seeing that potential work out on the field now. He's showing what he can be. And so for them to extend him 4 years for $10 million a year, this is an excellent team-friendly contract, in my opinion. Very, very smart of them to do it. It could backfire, but not really. They only gave him like $21 million guaranteed, I believe. So in my opinion, this is very smart of them. It's good on him too. He said he wants to retire a Dolphin, and he wanted to prove to the Dolphins that they made the right decision in drafting him. And so, you know, he's doing team-friendly things to help the team out, and it also helps him out, obviously, too. But I'm excited about the contract. It was a smart move.
Right. I think a lot of what you mentioned with the off-the-field issues, and you said, which is good that you specifically said that, my editor will love that part, that it's not legal issues. It's more so just his, like you said, his diet. I believe there's another one. He wasn't sleeping enough. That was one thing that Adam Gase had mentioned. You mentioned Kenny Stills mentioned stuff about him as well. It was just getting him in the right groove, and he was able to get into that groove, I think, towards the end of last season in terms of himself. And then we saw the extension over the offseason. And then now this year, even though it's been a down year for the Dolphins, even though there's been two different starting quarterbacks, one who didn't get a good release, wouldn't do the 50-50 balls, and one that is pretty erratic with wherever he throws and plays the game like he's a child in his backyard in Ryan Fitzpatrick. The one thing that I've mentioned a lot over the past couple weeks has been the running game. It's something that I think, and I'm sure a lot of Dolphins fans think, has been a really big issue. Today, it was still an issue. I mean, both running backs from the Miami Dolphins didn't play as well. Ryan Fitzpatrick had 4 rushes for 33 yards. Of course, him being a quarterback, Patrick Laird, 12 carries for 46, and then Myles Gaskin, 9 for 43, although those numbers are a little bit skewed as there was more, garbage time touches for Gaskin and for Laird. Laird also wasn't that great in the passing game. He dropped a couple passes, and that's something that he usually excels at. Do you think that either of these Dolphins running backs are on the team next season? Do you think that they go both into free agency, the draft? A lot of people have talked about DeAndre Smith. They talked about J.K. Dobbins. Do you think that one of those guys is the Dolphins running back next season?
I absolutely do think we're going to go after a running back in the draft. It just makes sense. There are talks, or have been talks in the past, year or so about Melvin Gordon or maybe some other running backs out there as well. Kareem Hunt could be an option. But I would expect them to go get one of these amazing running backs out of college. There are a bunch of them this year. DeAndre Swift is one that I've had my eye on a little bit more than others. Travis Etienne is one of my top running backs as well. J.K. Dobbins seems to be a fan favorite down here in Miami from what I've been able to tell. And I would absolutely be okay with that too. But I think they go out and get one of the guys in the draft. As far as Patrick Laird and Myles Gaskin, I would expect Myles Gaskin probably be off the team, maybe practice squad next year. I do think Laird sticks around. He's kind of that hybrid Rex Burkhead type of player that the Patriots offense has always had. And so you can have like your Sony Michel type, or you know, even better than Sony Michel type, if you got DeAndre Swift or Etienne. And then you can have a backup in Patrick Laird that can catch the ball out of the backfield and do your Rex Burkhead type of stuff or James White type of stuff. So I think Laird stays on the team. I hope Gaskin stays on the team, but I won't be surprised if he is not on the 53 next year.
From the running backs, DeAndre Swift, even Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins, what would be your preferred? I know you said that you like a lot of DeAndre Swift. Do you think that maybe the Dolphins grab one of them in the later first round, or do you think they try to trade up in the second round if they see a great spot to grab one of those guys?
So I haven't studied all the running backs that much yet. I've just kind of watched the games. Usually after the NFL playoffs finish, I go back and watch all these guys' tapes pretty heavily, and then I kind of make a decision on who I want. But from the games that I have watched early on this year, I really, really like Travis Etienne. He was kind of my number one running back. He kind of fell off, it seems, a little bit through mid-season of the college football season there. But His potential, I think, is sky high. I think all these guys' potential is sky high. J.K. Domins has been consistently very, very good all year long, so I would not be opposed to getting him either. Really, any of them. I can't really tell you all their strengths and weaknesses right now. As I said, I haven't studied them in depth. But any of those four, I'd be very happy with. And they probably would have to go get one with their third first-round pick or maybe their second-round pick if you want to get one of these four, because they're probably going to be near the top end of the draft.
Okay, and lastly, just to finish things up, we talked, I guess, Dolphins fans in general, the big thing has always been quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. I've mentioned in some of my articles, we've mentioned on our own podcast, in terms of not just the Dolphins, but other teams, if you have the draft ammo, you can go up and get a quarterback that you want. The big issue that I think the Dolphins have, of course, yes, it is quarterback, but more so it is offensive line, protecting the quarterback. We saw a stretch where the offensive line got a lot better throughout the year, and then now we're seeing more of a down stretch. You're having a lot of rotation. They have three first-round picks. If a quarterback falls to them that they like, whether it is a Justin Herbert, someone who I do like, a Tua Tagovailoa, someone I know you like, or maybe somehow, some way they lose to the Bengals and then the Bengals beat the Browns and the Dolphins jump up into that one or two slot and maybe slide to Joe Burrow. Do you think if they get a quarterback that falls to them that they like, they're at that either number four or between one and four picks, do you think one of those two picks either goes to offensive line or I would say an edge rusher for the Miami Dolphins there? Currently at 22 and 23.
Burrow, yeah, I think if Burrow or Tua falls to Miami at four, they're going to take one of those. Now, Burrow is probably not going to fall to Miami unless Miami ends up at number one. I think the Bengals will take Burrow if they're ahead of anybody else. If they get the opportunity, they're going to take Burrow. But if somehow Miami jumps ahead of the Bengals, as you said, I think Miami could take Burrow or Tua. If both those guys are gone by the time Miami picks, I absolutely could see them waiting around and going after Herbert. Herbert's not somebody I have loved. I'm from Oregon. I live in Oregon. And I've watched a decent amount of Herbert. I'm not sure that he is the guy I would want for my team personally, especially after all that's been made up about us, quote unquote, tanking and all that. I don't think that Herbert's the guy I would want to end up with after all that. Now, I absolutely do think they should use at least one of their first-round picks on an offensive lineman. If you watch the game today, it's an example of how bad this offensive line is. Fitzpatrick has no time. The running game has no opportunities. It destroyed us. The trench play on this team is really, really bad. And so I really do think you need to take an offensive lineman in the first round this year, whether that be with your first overall pick. I don't think that'll happen, but if we win our next two games somehow and we're picking seventh or eighth or whatever, maybe you take Andrew Thomas there. Or if you do later on in the first round with our Steelers or Texans pick, I think one of the offensive linemen need to go to Miami in the first round.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think they do also need to cover a defensive player as well. I could easily see them going quarterback, offensive line, and then some sort of position on defense, whether it's a edge rusher, maybe even if there's a corner that they like, but I don't think they'll go corner. I think that they're at least happy, at least in terms of first round talent, with what they have now, and maybe get someone there in the later rounds. For anybody here listening with FIU, where could they find you, Mr. Corey Ashburn?
I'm on Twitter at AshburnPFN, AshburnPFN. Lead editor for the fantasy football and gambling part of PFN. I do a lot of fantasy football talk on my timeline, and a lot of the other stuff's all Dolphins related. So if you like following me, go ahead and follow me. I'll probably follow you back.
You can also find him on the Any Given Friday podcast with myself and Eric Wiedeke. We have a podcast every single, you guessed it, Friday, or if we ever need to step in for a special podcast, it'll be either myself or Corey, myself or Eric, or all three of us. But we thank you so much for listening, and I will have another podcast out for you guys with our other co-host, Eric Wiedeke, on Friday. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your week and look forward to a game against the Cincinnati Bengals.